This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Barry Township is nestled in a quiet corner of West Michigan. It's kind of the midpoint in a triangle formed by Kalamazoo, Battle Creek, and Grand Rapids. Population, about 3,400. But controversy has hit the small town over its police force, specifically the nearly three dozen unpaid reserve police officers, non-certified officers carrying guns, riding in patrol cars, and, according to some in the town, using way too much force. Detroit Free Press reporter Lori Brazier is with us. She's been covering this story. Lori, what was happening that led people in Barry Township to think the police were overdoing it? Examples?
Well, there had been this kind of gradual buildup of the police force. You know, they have four full-time police officers and four part-time police officers who are all certified, and they carry guns. The police chief there became more and more concerned, particularly after Sandy Hook, that he wasn't adequately staffed. So he started recruiting these reserve officers from outside the community. They're unpaid. They're not trained by police academies. He put them in uniform. He gave them guns. He put them in cars, sometimes with certified officers, sometimes, you know, with just reserve officers. And you started to see sort of this escalation of arrests and police stops. And so it was already headed for trouble.
Give us an example or two of the kinds of stops that were alarming people or arrests.
These officers were stopping people for having things dangling off their rearview mirrors. They were stopping a lot of high school kids just to stop them. We had reports where during the snowstorms they would knock on doors and say, you can't have your car parked out there. And then the homeowner would say, well, let me move the car. And the officer would say, well, it's too late. It's going to be towed. You know, you've already lost the opportunity to move the car. So people were getting more and more angry over these tickets and these stops. And then, of course, it escalated with this confrontation between a very well-known, well-liked tavern owner there in May. That's kind of was the tipping point.
And tell us about that.
This is a man who's owned this tavern. It's called Two Jacks Tavern. He's owned it for 30 years. His father owned it with him. And he's well-loved in the community. He does these, you know, food drives for the church, and he's the guy you go to if you need a loan to make the rent. I mean, he's on the planning commission. And he was celebrating his 58th birthday back in May, and he had been out drinking with his friends. The bar was locked up, so it's like 3:30 in the morning. It's very dark. He went to urinate in the back parking lot in the corner, and these three police officers show up in two patrol cars. Two of them are reserve officers, and one of them is a certified officer. In the course of this altercation, they hit him with a police baton and broke some bones in his hands. This is all documented. And he ended up on the ground. He had bloody knees. They kneed him in the back, and he ended up being charged with assault and disorderly conduct. Resisting arrest is the actual term. So it's a two-year felony. And when word got out that this had happened to this man who doesn't have a criminal history and is, you know, sort of a community leader, that's when people got really angry.
Mm. And on top of their these nearly three dozen non-certified reserve officers, you write in your story that this tiny town also has two Humvees and two armored personnel carriers. Where did those come from?
They came from the Department of Defense. The community didn't have to pay for them. They were surplus vehicles from Iraq and Afghanistan. We were not able to see them. The police chief knew by the time we showed up in town that those were a matter of controversy, so he would not allow us to see them. But he said that they were something that they needed. He said that the Humvees were used in the wintertime to rescue folks who got stranded in the snow, and that the armored personnel carriers would be something they would use in the event of a barricaded gunman. We can't find any evidence of there ever having been a barricaded gunman in Delton or Barry Township. I mean, they have a very low crime rate.
And that's what I kind of wondered. What kind of crime was happening in that area that led the chief to decide we need four part-time officers, nearly three dozen gun-carrying reserve officers, two Humvees, two armored personnel carriers?
We actually pulled the crime stats from the Michigan State Police for the year 2013, and we could find absolutely no violent crime in Barry Township at all. There were no assaults. There were no rapes. There were no murders. The only thing we could find, we found, I think, about 15 crimes total that were reported to the Michigan State Police as required by law, and that was a couple of larcenies into vehicles and then also some burglaries in unoccupied homes. So this is not a hotbed of crime.
Well, Lori, how did police and people in Barry Township, how do they line up on this issue?
We found kind of an interesting demographic. The older folks, and there's a lot of older people there, they have a lot of fear about drug use and people coming in from the larger cities, and so they sort of welcome this. It was like, you know, the world is changing, and this man can keep us safe, and what's, you know, we would rather have 40 police officers than four. But a lot of the business people and the younger folks and some of the parents who were dealing with, you know, their kids getting stopped, they, after the incident at the tavern, that people had finally just said, we've had enough. They were circulating petitions. They were filling the auditorium at the high school with, you know, the meetings because they couldn't hold them in the township halls anymore because there were too many people who wanted to speak. So they were, it was a very divided community. And that was kind of hard to see because they're, or it's a little bit painful to see because it's, Delton in particular is a very close-knit community. Everybody knows everybody. They have, you know, churches and school events, and all of a sudden everybody's lined up against each other. So it, that kind of was an interesting aspect of the story as well.
And Police Chief Victor Pierce ultimately has resigned over this. How was that received?
I actually did not attend the meeting, but from what the reporters at Battle Creek, one of our sister newspapers, said, there was some applause. There were some people who were angry. He left without speaking. Some folks told us he was heckled in the parking lot. You know, you either loved him or hated him in this community. And, you know, he's gone, and they're going to start looking for a new police chief, and we'll see what new direction they go.
And what's the status for the reserves right now? Are they still out there with their guns and riding in cars?
No. In fact, before the chief resigned, a couple weeks before, the insurance company that oversees the township's police department said, hey, these guys aren't trained. You can't have them out doing regular police work. You know, we're not going to insure you unless you take care of this. So the program had been temporarily suspended while they were looking to figure out if they could get them certified and how best to train them. But the insurance company was pretty adamant that this posed some liability for the township.
And you actually talked to criminology experts. What do they say about fattening police ranks with these non-certified reserve officers?
They say it's happening all over the country, and it's a post-911 phenomena. And then you get, you know, horrific school shootings, rare, but still horrific. And that speaks to a level of fear that people have. So it's something that you're seeing. But the problem with it, and this was particularly what we found in Barry Township, these people were outsiders that they were bringing in. So these are unpaid people driving from Battle Creek or Kalamazoo to spend, you know, 9 hours in a police car. They're not being paid. They don't know the people. They don't know the issues. They don't know the community. So you've moved away from the community policing that tends to work. If you know the people that you're interacting with, people, your kids go to school with their kids, you know the history, you don't see the kind of episode that you see that happened in the back of that, you know, dark parking lot. I don't think if it was a police officer who knew this man that it would have ended the way that it did.
And as you pointed out, as you spoke to a criminology professor in New York who was a retired Boston police lieutenant, and I was struck with what he said to you, that it could be dangerous. The last thing you want is a reserve officer in maybe a barricaded gunman situation.
Sure. We actually spoke to a woman. We ended up not quoting her, but she runs a beauty salon in downtown Delton. And three officers came running down the street one day in June, I believe, with their guns drawn, which she'd never seen in her life. I mean, her kids walk up and down that little street, and apparently they thought that there had possibly been a break-in at a grocery store. But, you know, she was just shocked and upset about it. She said, this isn't the kind of town that this is.
What kind of thoughts were you getting from experts and from citizens, this beefing up and this militarization of a small-town police force? What does it say to us, not just in Barry Township, but across the state and across the country? Because we know that Homeland Security is handing out these Humvees and these armored personnel carriers. There's this general kind of militarization. What are we saying about that?
I came away thinking that I think if people are paying attention, they're going to start to realize that this is unnecessary, that these things are not going to keep us safe. You know, one of the things, one of the experts said to us, a Humvee and an armored personnel carrier is not going to save anybody from a mass shooting. You could have somebody walk into a McDonald's, God knows, God help us all, in some rural, you know, city or village in Michigan. The Humvee's not going to save you. The certified or non-certified police officers aren't going to save you. Those things that we're most afraid of are not going to be resolved by beefing up and providing small, even large, police agencies with you know, very expensive military equipment to maintain. That was the other issue. Where do you go when your Humvee breaks down or your armored military personnel carrier breaks down? And who trains these people to use these things? I mean, these are not toys. So there's all kinds of issues above and beyond the safety issue. I think we're going to see a situation sometime soon where people say, okay, enough is enough, and let's get back to knowing who the police officers are in our communities and arming them appropriately with the kind of equipment that they need to keep everybody safe.
Detroit Free Press reporter Lori Brazier, thank you so much for speaking with us and sharing that story that you covered with us.
Thank you.